This is Equestrian Legacy Radio's Saddle Up America, and from Nashville, Tennessee, I'm Gary Holt, and joining me today down in West Tennessee is our wet co-host, Tina Mae Weber. Tina, welcome to the show this morning.
Well, it's good to be here. I wasn't quite sure if I was going to make it. I've got one leg up and standing still and afraid to sneeze.
All right. Well, for our audience out there tuning in, you're down at Loretta Lynn's, and they've got a big event going on this weekend with chuck wagon races and all kinds of activities. And so not a real strong signal down there, but don't move, and we'll be just fine. Yeah.
Awesome.
So it's going to be a fun show. We've got some great guests, and let's let you go ahead and introduce them to our audience now.
Absolutely. Today we have Aaron McQueen, a horse chiropractor with McQueen Animal Chiropractic. Then we travel to Tennessee and talk with Phoebe, owner of Honey Creek Horse Camp.
All right, so it's going to be a fun show. A lot of Tennessee stuff going on today. So anyway, it's going to be a fun show. I've tried to talk Aaron into actually working on me a little bit when she comes down later this week. But
She could do it,
but she said, you know, I'd have to be more of an ass than I am for that to happen. So the equine kind. But anyway, it's going to be a fun show, and we want to remind folks that that Saddle Up America is made possible by our great sponsors at the General Store, where you'll find everything for the horse lover and folks that just love the Western and equestrian lifestyle, and by our great sponsors in the Christmas Shop that's now open. And you can shop with all of those folks online at our website at equestrianlegacy.net, and by our great show sponsor, Trail Guard, providing 24-hour roadside travel assistance. Trail Guard was founded with one mission in mind, and that's guarding you down life's trails. You can learn more about Trail Guard by visiting them today at trailguard.org. So grab a big cup of coffee or a hot chocolate or your umbrella or whatever it is that you need to have today, depending on where you are in the country.
I've got my hot chocolate.
All right. So when we come back, we're going to be talking with Aaron McQueen. You're listening to Equestrian Legacy Radio, heard around the world on our free mobile app and online at equestrianlegacy.net.
She talks about them, dreams about them, thinks about them all the time. She's got to have them, be lost without them. You can see it in her eyes. What is it? What is it with girls and horses? Now when I was a young girl, they were my whole world. They were my one safe place. Now that I'm older, still lean on their shoulders, I still feel like that girl someday. What is it? What is it with girls? Have them, be lost without them.
Templeton Thompson and her great song Girls and Horses. And we want to welcome to the show now Dr. Erin McQueen of McQueen Animal Chiropractic. Hi, Erin.
Hi, Gary. Thanks for having me.
Hi, Erin.
Hi, Tina.
Good to have you with us today. And you are coming to Tennessee a little bit later in the week. I think you're going to have some fun down at Loretta Lynn's too, aren't you?
Yes, that's right, I am. I'm very excited. I've actually never been to Tennessee before, so I think it's going to be a blast.
Oh, wow. Wow.
Oh, well, it will.
You're in for a treat. You are in for a treat. But anyway, we're so happy to have you join us today. And let's start out by giving folks a little bit of your background as far as a horse person and talk a little bit about how you got involved in equine chiropractic.
Sure. Well, my background on horses, you know, typical little girl living out in the country. I had a couple horses and dogs and cats and all those sorts of animals out on the farm. My neighbor even had wild ponies and elk and buffalo and peacocks and every animal you could probably possibly imagine. And I'd actually wanted to start out going to school to be a vet. And I did quite a few internships starting back in high school. And all the way up into my undergrad, and it wasn't until my summer after my junior year in undergrad I had interned at a veterinary hospital doing large-scale surgeries, and I was watching in the operating room them cutting open this knee and operating on the knee, and it was at that moment that I realized that I probably couldn't tolerate blood too well. I had to leave the operating room. Because otherwise I was probably going to pass out. So right then and there, I had to figure out quickly, what am I going to do? Because I had been pre-med, and I was like, man, what am I going to do with this now? I still want to work on animals. What can I do? So one of the vets I had interned with was doing some chiropractic. Wasn't his full-time practice, but he did it occasionally for his arthritic patients with really good results. So I was like, no, I think I could be a chiropractor. This looks like a lot of fun. I'd always gone to a chiropractor for multiple things, especially playing sports. I had sports injuries, and I would go to a chiropractor for that. So I was like, well, why don't I switch gears and go to chiropractic school? So that's what I did.
Well, that is cool. And wow. And so you actually went to a chiropractic school for people, not horses, right?
Correct, yeah. To be able to do animal chiropractic, you either have to be a doctor of chiropractic or a doctor of veterinary medicine. So I went first to be a doctor of chiropractic. I went through that program at Palmer College of Chiropractic in Davenport, Iowa, the Quad Cities. And then after that, you can take the postgraduate training to do animal chiropractic, which is a six-month-long program. There's three schools in the United States for it, as far as I know. I think there's only three now. I went to the school in Wisconsin, Sturtevant, Wisconsin. It's called Healing Oasis Wellness Center. It's taught by both vets and chiropractors. And I know there's a school in, I think, Kansas City, Missouri, and then there's a school down in Texas, and I can't remember the name of it. But so I went to the one in Wisconsin and did the postgraduate training. Takes 6 months, five modules, 226 plus hours, and
oh,
got
wow.
that taken care of.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Well,
wow.
And while you were studying to be a doctor of chiropractic, there was another big event that happened in your life, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah. I met my husband. I think it was the first week of school I was there. It was a Thursday, I still remember. I met him, and we were married, oh, my goodness, 2 years later. And then we had my daughter a year later after that, if I remember correctly, and she's gosh, she's 17, 18 months old now. So
it's wow.
been quite the whirlwind.
Cute family.
Wow.
Right,
and
right.
So it was really a good thing that you were kind of queasy over that blood, wasn't it?
yeah. It all fell into place, you know.
It did. Wow. Did. Well, you know, we want to talk a little bit, of course, now Tina Mays has actually used your services in the past, but let's talk a little bit, Aaron, about in a couple of different directions I want to go. First of all, let's talk about maybe the most common things that you see with horses or equine as far as problems.
Sure. As far as things that I commonly see, I would say probably the biggest things that I see, first off, is behavioral changes. A lot of people don't realize that behavioral changes are actually probably due to some sort of pain they're experiencing, whether that be they're bucking when you get on them, or they're roaching their back, or they're possibly bunny hopping. They're trying to bite you when you put the saddle on them or after you saddle up, or even they're pinning their ears at you. So those are all really good ways to tell that they're in pain. And some other things that I see a lot of are, you know, animals who have lameness that, you know, haven't been detected by a vet yet. You know, there's an unknown cause, can't figure it out. See a lot of that kind of like, you know, I'm their last resort and they end up calling me type of thing. Limping, animals who limp, hypersensitivity to touch, you know, if you run your hands over their ribs or something like that and they start to twitch their skin over that area. Let's see, I see a lot of arthritic animals, whether just to help decrease the progression of the arthritis or just to help deal with the pain because, you know, the owner doesn't want to put them on tons of medications or whatnot or put them down. You know, they want them to live out their life as best as possible.
Right.
Some other things that I see that, you know, not as common just because I think people lack the knowledge of what chiropractic can do for their animal would be, you know, muscle atrophy or either hypertonicity. So I see horses that have top lines that have atrophied. I see those a lot because people think that's a weight loss issue, and it's not really necessarily a weight loss issue. It's just atrophy of those specific muscles right next to the spine. I see neurological conditions. I think the coolest thing I've seen probably is I treated a horse who his back legs were crossed, the right one in front of the back, and he was unable to even walk forward. He could only walk sideways. He would, you know, move the left leg out and then cross the right one back over it and just move in a sideways manner.
Oh, wow. Wow.
Oh, my goodness.
Just awful. And after the first visit with him, he was able to, you know, kind of unhook that right leg, and he was walking straight in a straight line after that appointment. So I just get to see some really cool things. Yeah.
That is neat. Well, we want to take a quick break, pay some bills, and we want to come back and talk more about how chiropractic works for the horses and maybe some of the signs that people as owners should be looking for. And then we want to find out what you did for Mocha.
Sure.
Yeah. But we're going to take just a quick break and talk about one of our great show sponsors, and that is Trail Guard. Trail Guard is 24-hour roadside travel assistance with unlimited vehicle towing to a dealership that services your make vehicle, a second tow vehicle to get you, your trailer, and your horses home or to your destination, 24-hour coverage for you and your vehicle or the one that you're driving or anyone driving your vehicle, and it covers your entire family, 24-hour personal assistant to help you plan your trip, and much, much more. Trail Guard was founded with one mission in mind, and that's guarding you down life's trails. You can learn more about Trail Guard today by visiting them at their website, trailguard.org. And when we come back, we're going to find out more about chiropractic and see how that works and what you can do as an owner to watch for those signs. You're listening to Equestrian Legacy Radio, heard around the world online at equestrianlegacy.net.
walking stalls, but she whistles a call, and hoofbeats are heard rapidly. From the pasture comes a whirling mad horse to her girl and flies to a stop right on beat. 'Cause the Mustang waltz plays through their lives every day. It's a dance in their very own
whether or not somebody can recognize when they're in pain or not. So the obvious signs of pain would be, you know, if they're lame and they're limping around, that's pretty obvious that they're in pain. Or if they have a sensitivity to touch when you're touching their withers or their rib cage or anywhere else really, or they might have difficulty with a gait or an abnormal gait. And, you know, the behavioral changes that we talked about before with the pinning the ears or tight backed or cinching up or something like that. But then there's the other things that aren't quite so obvious. So, you know, I get people who say, well, my horse can't flex their neck to the right or to the left or whatever side they can't do because they have decreased range of motion in their cervical neck. Well, most likely that's probably because they're in pain and they need that area worked on. Some other things you can look at are for hots along the spine or the neck or any joint really. And the hot spots are just areas of increased temperature because there's most likely inflammation there.
Okay.
When you have a joint that's restricted, you know, there's going to be inflammation that builds up there and that produces heat. So other things you watch for, it could be even difficulty eating or taking a bit because they have TMJ issues, like I said before, the muscular atrophy or even hypertonicity, and neurological problems and seizures and incontinence. The list really just goes on and on.
Yeah. Now, Tina May, what was it that was going on with Mocha that, because I know you were concerned, you were getting ready to make your big ride out into the
Montana.
You're headed out to the Bob.
Bob Marshall Wilderness.
You were worried about your horse. What was going on with him?
Well, I was in an accident with him, and he was kind of off on his step, and he showed some signs of going downhill and everything. And I knew he was going to be riding on some pretty steep terrain and things like that. And I've gone to the veterinarians, which I love my veterinarians and everything, but nobody could fix or see what was going on, but I could feel it. Even though he technically did not limp, he wasn't really lame. He just had his step was off. It was just different. Mm-hmm. And I knew it wasn't his reach. And so I went to chiropractic help for Mocha, and it straightened it up immediately. And so with that, I do normally have him done, a couple times a year in the spring and in the fall. And when I seen that Erin did all of Missouri, I had looked her up, and I've got her kind of working on him. He's got some scar tissue up there on his back, which I think is causing all the problems that puts his hip or his back end off a little bit. And she does a fantastic job. I mean, she starts from shoot the nose down to the tail. She's very thorough. She's very thorough. And she's done some really good things with him. And I just really like, how she does it and everything. But the main thing was I wanted to get him, in tune. And I actually have her come in like once a month right now to try to get this, to get a handle on this. And then I'll go back to, twice a year. But Mocha's just one of those that needs something. And, well, I guess she can kind of explain it better physically what's going on.
Yeah, I mean, Mocha has, now most chiropractors explain, the subluxation or whatever you want to call it in the spine as, the bone is out of place and you got to put it back in or something like that. And that's kind of the old theory of chiropractic that first started when chiropractic first began. And we have imaging now, so we know exactly what happens is, when an area of the spine is fixated, you get adhesions between the joint surfaces, which doesn't allow the joint to move. So with Mocha, his L3 through 6 is chronically fixated. So he has to have a lot of work on his low back. I did a little bit of work on his pelvis, his SI joints, and then I did some work on his stifles and his hocks. Those are his major areas. Of course, I always work on everything else. I do the neck, find something in the neck, the withers, the front legs, the pole, because everything's connected. If there's a problem in the lumbar spine, it's going to cause compensations, upstream or downstream, whether it's going to be up in the neck or down in the legs. So Mocha has definitely had quite the workover.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and I mentioned to you yesterday when we were visiting just a little bit, I have walking horses. And and walking horses are a little higher head carriaged horse than some other breeds are. I was having a problem with my mare. Her head was kind of level. She was holding her head level with her withers instead of, elevating her head like she normally would. And and it all affected her gait. And chiropractic was suggested, and so we had a chiropractor that came out and worked on her, and it was kind of cool because you get up on a stepladder. I mean, if any of our audience is listening and they've had chiropractic treatments, you know how chiropractors work. I mean, you're spread out on the table and they're popping and adjusting and doing these things. You guys are up on a ladder. The horse can't lay down for you to work on. You're up on the ladder.
No. Yep. It's a little bit more difficult depending on the horse's temperament.
Right.
But, it's not all so bad.
Well,
but she's got herself this I don't even know what you called it. It's like a big giant, looks like a giant big old bale of hay wrapped in black plastic.
Right. Yeah, right.
Down there
yeah,
and she
I've
gets
got,
up on top of that.
Yeah, I actually don't use a ladder. I know some do, but I use something like a big foam bale that's wrapped in vinyl with like a shoulder strap so I can carry it around. But it's just easier to push around. It's lighter, and it's a lot safer because I'm up there and I've got a lot more surface area to stand on. And if for some reason something didn't happen and I fell off, I wouldn't wrap my arm or my leg, between the rungs of the ladder, or the horse wouldn't either and break a leg or whatnot.
Right.
Because I've had friends who, I have one friend who did animal chiropractic, and she fell down and she broke her wrist because she was on a ladder. So I definitely don't use a ladder. Yeah.
No, a ladder to me seems dangerous. And I've had other chiropractors there, and they would just grab a bale of my hay and just, throw it down there or whatever. But
So, of course, the bale of hay is all messy and heavy.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
Let's talk a little bit, Aaron, about some of the things that people might be able to do as a regular course with their horses, maybe so they wouldn't need you.
Sure, yeah. I mean, a lot of the behavioral issues, I'd say a good chunk of them are probably caused by an ill-fitting saddle. So, I mean, people should really utilize their saddle fitters. I mean, mm-hmm. I see all sorts of crazy things. The muscle atrophy or the hypertonicity that I find along the withers or along the back a lot of the times is due to a really poor fitting saddle. Even like loss of top line, that'll happen because of, the gullet of the saddle isn't wide enough. And so it's pinching on the nerves and it cuts off the circulation to the muscles. Or even wither problems is because the tree of the saddle isn't wide enough, or either the pommel isn't high enough off the withers and they've got the pommel sitting on top of the spinous processes of the withers, and it almost causes the withers to the spinous processes coming off the vertebra to rub together, and that causes a lot of pain. I see rib issues all the time, and that's another thing with saddles. Just easy things like that. Just making sure that you actually warm up your horse before a performance event of some sort. I know a lot of people just go out there and run their horses cold, and that's terrible form. At least go out and walk for 10 minutes, trot for 10 minutes, canter for 10 minutes, or lope or whatever. And that'll save you a lot of problems with like muscle or ligament injuries and things like that. A lot of people want to have stretches for their horses, but really don't stretch your horse too much before an event, because then you get stretch-induced muscle strength loss. And so really, if you want to stretch your horse out, do it after your event, after you're completely done with whatever training you're going to do for the day. That would be what's best for them.
Okay. Now, what about maybe some exercises to flex your horse's neck? I mean, I've seen folks that like to flex the horse back to the right and then flex it to the left. Is that helpful for the horse?
Right. Yeah, that's totally fine. That'll help keep mobility in that cervical spine. That's great. I don't mind that stuff at all, no.
Mm-hmm. And, as we get older, as some of us get older, speaking for myself,
sure.
It's kind of good for us to do a little stretching before we just climb right in the saddle.
Right.
Our joints are not quite what they used to, so we need just a little warm up, before we get into the saddle. And I'm afraid too often we're just ready to saddle up and go, and can cause some problems that way. So, but I think that to have your horse examined and treated a couple of times a year, as Tina May was talking about, it's probably not a bad thing at all to do.
No, it's fantastic for a horse of any age. I mean, I've seen horses that are 3 years old and they're already arthritic, and so that horse is just they're going to have an uphill battle the rest of their lives. But I've also seen some 20-year-olds that have had great care taken of them and they feel great. So it just kind of depends, getting your horse treated with chiropractic is going to keep that joint motion free. And, whenever you have a fixation in the spine, you're going to have the inflammation build up, you're going to have arthritic changes take place. And with that, comes, muscle or ligament contracture or laxity, which means if you have that area in the spine that's been there for so long, then if you go out and try to do stuff, you've got those biomechanical changes, and you could injure, you know, a muscle or ligament or tendon easier. So it's just better for the animal to keep them in alignment and free for motion, because it keeps everything how it should be.
Are there any particular breeds of horses that you see with more chiropractic problems, issues that arise than maybe some others?
You know, I get that question a lot. And to be honest with you, I haven't seen anything, you know, crazier for one breed or the other. I would say I see a lot more orthotic changes with the heavier horses, the graft horses and the crosses and things like that, just because they're bigger animals and they generally have a harder workload. I'd say the biggest thing for animals that causes, you know, a propensity to need chiropractic care would be the animals that are, you know, performing a lot. So whether that's you're going out and riding trails for 10 hours, or that's you're going out and cutting, or, you know, doing pole weaving or barrels or whatever work that you're going to have for that horse, those horses that are working hard really need it.
So it's a little extra attention to those animals would be a good thing. And
right.
I was just kind of thinking, you know, we love to get out and trail ride. There's certain seasons that we're more active on the trails. A lot of time as we come into these cold, nasty winter months that are going to be approaching, we're not out on the trails at all, or not as much. And then when spring comes, you know, we're all ready to get back out and go. And what should we do for our horses? We're getting ready to get back out on the trails again.
Well, for one, I mean, just make sure that you ease them into it slowly, because, I mean, just like a person, you get deconditioned if you don't work out. So I think the worst thing for them would just take them out cold and start doing what you normally do with them. I would definitely, you know, have a training period for them to ease them back into it. As far as through the winter goes, you know, if you've got horses with joint problems, make sure you've got them on a decent supplement that contains, you know, glucosamine or chondroitin or something like that, because those are all great supplements for the joints just to keep them healthy through the winter. And I would definitely say, you know, if you have an animal that you know has had issues in the past and they've been sitting all winter long getting stiff, make sure you get them worked on, you know, before you start going back out on the trails or whatever you're doing and hitting it hard again.
Okay. Well, that's great advice. And, you know, there's nothing more disheartening than to be all excited and ready to get out and go to an event, or ready to get out and go to a trail ride that you've planned on for a long time, and suddenly you've got a problem with your horse, or to be planning a big trip out west like Tina May was making, and then, you know, is my horse going to be able to make it? So we need to pay attention to those things. Well,
and then afterwards too, and after a big trip, you get them back in adjustment. That's right.
Right.
Well, and if you're somewhere in the middle of the winter and, you know, you get a lot of snow and ice, I mean, you got to be careful out there. They're slipping around on that stuff and, you know, falling down. So make sure that they're doing okay.
Well, not only that, a lot of the places I go ride, you know, we've got some steep hills and inclines, declines, and there's rolling rocks, and they get them back legs on those rocks, and then they slip it out too. I mean, I think it happens more frequently than what we think. So,
chiropractor
is important.
Probably does. Well, let's tell folks how they can get in touch with you, so that when they're aware of these things that are coming up, and they don't know what to do, and they need to call Dr. Erin McQueen. So, how can they reach you?
Sure. My phone number is 515-509-5116, or you can reach me through my website. It's just www.mcqueenanimalchiropractic.com, and I've got all my information on there as well, or you can find me on Facebook. My Facebook page is McQueen Animal Chiropractic.
All right, so check that out, and Erin will take care of your animals, and Tina May can attest to that. And great to have you on. So what are you looking forward to when you come down to Loretta Lynn's later this week?
Oh, gosh, I have never seen a chuck wagon race in my entire life, so I think that is going to be super, super interesting. Oh, it's going to be.
should be a lot of fun. Should be a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Well, I hope the weather clears up and everybody has a great Halloween down there. And we look forward to having you come back. You know, maybe it'd be good if you came back and we talked about a spring tune-up for our horses. So
there you go. That'd be great.
Could we have you back? That would be fun.
Well, thanks, Jerry. Thank you, Tina.
All right.
Absolutely, Aaron. Thank you.
All right. When we come back, we're going to be traveling up to the Big South Fork. They've got some really great Halloween activities getting ready to take place up there this weekend. We're going to be talking with C.B. Bagshaw, the owner of Honey Creek Horse Camp, and we'll be right back to talk with him. So don't go away. You're listening to Equestrian Legacy Radio, heard around the world online at equestrianlegacy.net.
See the world through my eyes, not
Carpenter's song Listen from the CD Listen. And we are going to go visit what I call the other side of the park up at the big South Fork National Park and Recreation Area. And we're visiting with C.B. Bagshaw, who is the owner of Honey Creek Horse Campground. Hi, C.B.
Hello, how are y'all?
Doing well.
Wet.
Yes, I'm wet also, too.
Gosh. Well, we have to have a little rain to make us appreciate the pretty weather and the sunshine we've got. So,
absolutely.
Just part of it. Just part of it. But, CB, I talked to somebody the other day that knew you were coming on the show, and they told me that their favorite place to ride in the Big South Fork was from Honey Creek Horse Camp. That's quite a compliment.
Well, that is.
That is quite a compliment. But
yep.
Well,
thank you.
Yeah. You guys have just a great horse campground up there, and you're located on the Allert side of the park. And you've got some things to see and do there that you can't get to from the rest of the park. Let's talk a little bit about some of those special sites that you can see there. I think just really close to you, just riding distance or even hiking distance. And one of those is the Double Arches.
Yes, sir, that's right. It's actually probably a 15-minute horse ride from the camp, and you can ride right into it. Not far at all.
Yeah, one of the unique things about your horse campground is you ride right onto the trails from your place.
Exactly. You hit the trails right from our camp, and you can ride anywhere from an hour ride to a 8-hour, 10-hour, however long you wanted to do it from our camp.
Yeah. Well, tell us a little bit about the Double Arches and what that is. What that is, and then I think there's a place called the Potter's Cave that's close to you as well.
Yes, sir. The Double Arch is a natural formation. You actually ride your horse down into it, and there's one arch right above you, and then even higher up, going across the top of that, is another arch, and you kind of ride over the top of it and then down into it. It's actually a pretty good little ride to do. It's something to see that you don't normally see everywhere. And in Potter's Cave, if you hike the Double Arch, there's a trail that goes out of the back of the Double Arches, but it's a little low. Unless you got a real short horse, you can't get a horse under it. I tried.
Bring the miniatures.
Yeah, but you can hike to it, and it's just this big, massive cavern that opens up back there, and there's several of them like that. We hiked, took the kids back there one day and some flashlights and just looked around. It's pretty neat, a neat thing to see, and it's within hiking distance of the camp, about a 30-minute walk maybe.
Right. Well, I've ridden from Honey Creek, and the trails are just absolutely great from there. A beautiful spot. You know, one of the neat things about your campground, and somebody was sharing this with me, is that, you know, you've got a lot of trees there. You don't feel like you're just out in the parking lot.
No, it's kind of like you're camping right in the middle of the woods. There's trees all over. So in warmer weather, there's pretty much shade on every site. And then, of course, with the fall coming that we're into right now, all the leaves have changed, and it's really pretty right now.
Well, and the colors are still pretty. I don't know what this rain is going to do for us, but right now the colors are absolutely gorgeous. And if you're going to get up into the Big South Fork, I think this is the time to go. I mean, any time is a good time to be up there. Spring is great, but the fall is absolutely glorious up through there. Tina May, you always like to find out about the campground, and we've had CB and Bridget on in the past, but it's been a while, so I'm sure you have some questions about the campground.
Oh, absolutely. And plus, you know, if we've got new listeners out there that haven't heard, tell us a little bit about your facilities, what people have to expect when they arrive at your place, and what you have to offer there.
Okay, we have 42 campsites with electric and water. We have a centrally located dump station. We have a bathhouse, men's and women's. And typically when people pull up, I'm out there walking up to them, helping them out to do whatever they need to do. We have a 40-stall barn. And then, of course, once that fills up, we let people pick it. Their horses right behind their trailers.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah, so we can accommodate a large crowd.
And do you allow them to bring, like, porta panels? Do you do that, or you've got the ticket and you've got the barn? That'd be sufficient.
No, it's all pretty much the same price. So if you want to ticket your horse, that's perfectly fine with us. We don't mind.
Okay. And what about shower houses?
I'm sorry, I didn't hear you. Say that again.
I've probably got pretty bad signal here. Shower houses. Did you have shower houses or anything like that? Or?
Oh, yes, ma'am, we do. We have men's and women's. There's three showers in each. And, of course, sinks and toilets. And it's big enough to where everyone can get a good hot shower after a long day on the trail.
That's important.
Yes. It's very important.
Yeah.
Yes,
Tinnie Mae spent 10 days back up in the Bob Marshall a couple of months ago. And so she learned how important hygiene was while she was out there, I think.
I kept my hygiene up, but I tell you what, it makes you appreciate warm water.
Oh, I'm sure, because all the creeks and stuff were probably cold up there.
You ain't kidding, they were.
That'd be pretty chilly. Well, you guys have owned you've owned Honey Creek Horse Camp for just over a year now, I think. And what has the experience like been for you as a first-time horse camp ground owner, operating your facility and meeting the different people that you're meeting? And talk to us a little bit about some of the special things that you do up there.
It has been an interesting year, to say the least. Of course, the first year is always the hardest because you're learning everything about it. But the campers that have come up to see us have just been absolutely perfect. Made great friends. We have had repeat campers over this year. So everybody's been extremely nice, helpful, offering their suggestions or whatever we could do to do better. And from our campground, when you ride out, you can ride out to the O&W Bridge, and it's only about an hour and a half ride from our campground. And then we have the Needle's Eye, which is about another hour and a half from the campground that people can ride to. So we're real close to all of the things to see on the south side of the park.
Yeah, and, you know, again, that's what we were talking about. You know, you're on the what I call the other side of the park from where a lot of people are used to riding. There's a little more to see maybe than you would expect when you're riding on the other side of the park. Right there.
There is. There's some trails follow along creek, so they're really pretty because you have the greenery year round along the creek. And then, of course, we have discovered another overlook, which we did not know was there. So now there's a trail to it that gives you a different perspective looking down onto the O&W Trail and the White Oak Creek that goes right beside it. So that's kind of neat. And then we have another little arch you ride down to that has a little waterfall with it.
Wow. Well, I've seen some photographs that some of your campers have posted, and it's absolutely beautiful there. We want to talk a little bit more about the trails and what there is for every level of rider, but we want to take a real quick break and come back and do that. And then you've got some special things that are coming up this weekend and for the rest of the year that we want to talk about, CB. So we're going to come back and do that in just a moment.
Right now,
we want to remind folks that Saddle Up America is made possible by Trail Guard, 24-hour roadside travel assistance. Trail Guard was founded with one mission in mind, and that's guarding you down life's trails. You can learn more about what TrailGuard has to offer and enroll in their services by visiting TrailGuard.org and by the great sponsors in the General Store and the Christmas Shop, where you'll find everything for the horse lover and folks that love the Western and equestrian lifestyle in the General Store and in the Christmas Shop on our website at EquestrianLegacy.net. And when we come back, we're going to be talking about some of the spooky things that are going to be happening up at the Big South Fork and at Honey Creek Horse Camp when we come back in just a moment. You're listening to Equestrian Legacy Radio.
Shades of night are falling as the wind begins to sigh, and the world is silhouetted again. The sky.
Oh, oh, oh.
Ooh, ooh,
ooh. Ooh,
ooh,
ooh. Blue shadows on the trail. Blue moon shining through the trees. And a plaintive wail from the distance comes a-drifting on the evening breeze. Move along, blue shadows, move along. Soon the dawn will come. Sheds its veil, there'll be blue shadows on the trail.
Honey Creek Horse Camp in the Big South Fork, sitting back watching the fall colors and maybe in the evening with a little campfire going and just, CB might even sing a little bit for you. CB, do you sing
any? No, no. Well, in the shower. I sing in the shower.
Gosh, but what a great way to spend an evening when you've come back from riding out on those trails and sit around your campfire. And maybe sit back and you've just grilled a big old steak and sit back and enjoy the evening. Do you have a lot of wildlife up around your place?
We have the normal thing in the Big South Fork, which is, you know, deer, and then I have seen a bear over there. So yes, we do have some wildlife around.
Wow. Wow, wow. Well, do you ever hear any coyotes at night?
Yes, we do. And at night, that's kind of a neat thing, like you said, sitting around your campfire, and then the coyotes get to howling out in the distance. It's pretty relaxing.
It's pretty relaxing. Pretty relaxing. Well, talk to us about what you've got coming up here for Halloween weekend at Honey Creek.
Well, this weekend being Halloween, we have a costume party, which will be on Halloween Saturday night. It will be the best dressed horse will get their night free in the stall, and the best dressed camper will get their site free for the night. So there's some incentive there. Yes.
Wow. Wow. That's pretty cool. That is pretty cool. Well, do you have like a parade through the campground at any particular time, or are folks going to be out on the trail in costume, do you think?
Well, they may be, but we would tend to have it at about 6:30 or 7 down by the little pavilion where there's plenty of room, and the best dressed will win.
Oh, that's cool. That is cool. Now, who's the judge? Do I need to talk to Bridget, or are you judging that?
I guess I'll judge it, but I may have some help from my 4-year-old, little CB.
Well, you know, one of the cool things about it is that you guys are a real family operation up there. So you and your wife, Bridget, and how many children do you have?
Well, we have three. We have a 17-year-old, Sarah. We have an 11-year-old named Melissa, and then the 4-year-old boy named Little Phoebe. So we've got a house full.
Oh, wow. Wow. How do they enjoy the campground, and do they like getting out on the trails?
Oh, they love it, and they do love the trails. Little Phoebe rides behind me, and he wants to go wide open. He'll be kicking the horse behind me, and I'm trying to figure out why he won't slow down.
Oh, wow. Wow. He's going to be quite the horseman then. Hey, isn't there a place called Panther Creek out there close to you?
Yes, there is. You ride down it, and it takes you down all the way down. You can make a big loop, and then it can take you all the way down to the OMW where you cross White Oak Creek. It's a neat little creek. You can stop and water your horses in. A good spot to take a break.
Well, talk to us a little bit about the kinds of trails. You've got some, I guess, that are suitable for any level of rider. From your campground?
Yes, we do. From the beginner, then all the way to the expert. We've had several families that had small ponies. They come and stayed the weekend, and there were plenty of trails for them to ride with their younger kids that weren't yet ready for the more experienced trails. So we've got some to offer everybody.
Now, one of the unique things about your campground too is I think you encourage wagons, don't you, to come out there? Don't you have some wagon trails from your campground?
Well, we've got lots of gravel roads that go back to oil wells all back behind us, so there is room for wagons, and there's miles of gravel roads to drive on.
Well, that's a little unusual. Not every campground has access where people can bring their wagons, and I know a lot of folks like to find a place that they can do that. Some folks, when they start getting a little older, may not be able to get on a horse like they used to, but they can still enjoy getting out with their wagons and rides. So I think that's pretty neat that's something that's available from Honey Creek. You've got your Halloween event that's taking place and the costume for the horses and the people. And that's, as you said, that's quite an incentive to dress up. But what do you have coming up next after Halloween?
Oh, well, for Thanksgiving, we're going to have our second annual chili cook-off. We had our first last year, obviously. And this will be our second on Saturday night after Thanksgiving. So we hope to have a good crowd for that this year.
Does everybody get to sample everybody's chili?
Yes, they do. So make sure that everyone's nice, good, and hungry.
So talk to us a little bit about the pavilion you were talking about. Is that an area where folks can come and picnic tables and kind of do a spread?
Yes, they can. And we've made it to where anyone can come in there and use it if they need to, just a place to get out of the weather, especially this time of year with being rainy, and there's trees and woods around, so it gives you the feel like you're sitting out in the middle of the woods, which is a neat thing where we're at.
Yeah. Yeah. Do you do any spooking while people are out there? I mean, you don't have any ghosts that come out of the forest and the woods, do you?
Well, we may. We may have several.
Gosh. Well, it sounds like a great time up there at Honey Creek. You know, when you're coming to visit, another thing is that you're real close to the historic town of Rugby. Tell us a little bit about Rugby and how close you are to that, and maybe some of the other activities that people can participate in addition to the trails.
Yes, Rugby is about 10 to 15 miles from us, and it's an old historic community, and I believe it was started in the late 1800s, may have been a little earlier than that, and they still have shops and things running over there. And in the summertime, we have gone down to Burnt Mill Bridge, which is a bridge that goes over the Clear Fork River, and you drive down a one-lane gravel road to get to it, but we have gone swimming right there when it's extremely hot outside, and it's just been wonderful right there by the river, and it's only probably about a 15-minute drive from us, which makes it nice.
That's great. That is great. Well, you know, they've got fishing in the park. They've got whitewater rafting and canoeing that's available for folks. So there's a whole lot to see and do when you come up to the Big South Fork, and a whole lot of things to see on the south side of the park, where you are, that people don't have access maybe to the Bandy Creek side.
Yes, definitely. If people come visit us, they will be able to see all the stuff on the south side of the park without it being a six-hour ride if you're coming from somewhere else maybe. So we are close to all the different things that are over there.
Yeah, yeah. Well, now, if people need to get in touch with you to make reservations, how would they do that?
They can call the camp number, which is 931-879-9950, which that number comes to my cell phone. And lots of times I am out on the trails making sure everything's cleared up. So I may not answer, so leave me a voicemail, or they can go to our website at www.honeycreekhorsecamp.com, and we are on Facebook, so you can reach us that way also.
Yeah, you've got a great Facebook page, and as well as website, and you've got some really loyal campers up there. I mean, you mentioned earlier that folks come back several times during the year, but I think somebody made the comment the other day that the weekend wasn't complete unless they came up to Honey Creek to do some camping and riding up there. So that is pretty neat. That is pretty neat. Well, CB, any final thoughts you want to leave us with today?
The only thing I would say is everyone come on out to Honey Creek before the weather turns too cold. Typically, it's perfect weather up until about the 1st of December. And come on out and see us.
All right. So visit Honey Creek Horse Camp. And what is your season up there? When are you open?
We're open March 1 until the second weekend of December. And then we'll close down for those 3 months. That way, it's just too cold typically to get out there and ride. So we're open to March 1 to the second weekend of December.
All right, so put Honey Creek Horse Camp on your bucket list of places to visit and meet CB and his family up there and enjoy those beautiful trails and some of the great natural arches and attractions that there are to see. And CB, thanks so much for taking the time to be with us today.
Thank you all for having us.
All right, talk with you soon, my friend.
Yes, sir, thanks.
All right. And we lost Tina May just a little while ago. She's down at Loretta Lynn's for the big chuck wagon races. But we're going to take a quick break and come back in just a moment. We remind you that you're listening to Equestrian Legacy Radio, heard around the world online at equestrianlegacy.net.
There's a great American hero we all look up to. When the times are hard and chips are down, he knows just what to do. Now a cowboy's got a set of rules that he lives by day to day. If you ask for his advice, he'll more than likely say, if it's a fence, mend it. If it's a dollar bill, spend it. Or it burns a hole down in them jeans. If it's a load, truck it. If it's a punch, duck it. If she's a lady, treat her like a queen. That's cowboy logic. Every cowboy's got it. It's in the way he lives his life and the songs he sings. That's cowboy logic. Every cowboy's got it. He's got a simple solution, just about anything. If it's a job, do it. Put your back into it. Cause a little bit of dirt's gonna wash off them rain. If it's a horse, ride it. If it hurts, hide it. Duck yourself off, get back on again. That's cowboy logic. Every cowboy's got it. It's in the way he lives his life and the songs he sings. That's cowboy logic. Every cowboy's got it. He's got a simple solution for just about anything. An old cowboy and a young buckaroo were working, riding fence. The old hand was testing the kid on his skills and his common sense. He said, son, if you've seen three men in a pickup, dressed alike from boots to hat, could you tell which one was the real cowboy just from where he sat? The kid scratched his head a while and then he said, well, there just ain't no way to know. The old hand grinned and then he said, kid, you still got a ways to go. The real cowboy's the one in the middle. He ain't there just by fate. Cause first, he don't have to drive, and then he don't have to mess with the gate. That's cowboy logic. Every cowboy's got it. It's in the way he lives his life and the songs he sings. That's cowboy logic. Every cowboy's got it. He's got a simple solution for just about anything. He's got a simple solution for just about anything.
Michael Martin Murphy and his cowboy logic. And just remember, if you sit in the middle, you don't have to drive and you don't have to open the gate. Well, we had a good show today. We enjoyed having Dr. Aaron McQueen with McQueen's Animal Chiropractic on, and great information and tips for keeping our horse in shape. And if you haven't tried a horse chiropractor, you'll find that they can come in very, very handy and keep those horses ready to get out and hit the trails or get into the arena for their shows. And again, appreciate Dr. Aaron McQueen taking the time to join us on the show. And then it was great to have C.B. Bagshaw back with us from Honey Creek Horse Camp. If you haven't visited their horse camp ground, this is a great weekend to do that. We've got rain for a couple of days, and then it is going to be a beautiful, sunny weekend. And I would say one of the last weekends to get out and enjoy the beautiful fall colors up in the Big South Fork. But wherever you are, get out and enjoy the trails this weekend and enjoy being out in Mother Nature. We've got a great show that's coming up on Thursday on the Campfire Cafe. We're going to be joined by a great young talent, Adrienne Brannon, and she has been called the Western Taylor Swift. She has a unique sound and a great, great young lady. And we're going to be talking with her and listening to her music on the Campfire Cafe on Thursday. And then Shannon Schraffnagel, the founder of Horse Trails and Camping Across America, is going to be joining us. And Shannon is an old friend, and we look forward to catching up with her. And we're going to find out about some kind of a Halloween costume contest that HTCAA has going on for the Halloween weekend, and find out what's going on with Shannon and her trail riding. So that is on Thursday at noon on the Campfire Cafe. And then on Sunday morning at 9 o'clock, it's Blessed Trails with Belinda Gale. And her special guest this Sunday will be Joyce Woodson. So tune in for that. And we want to remind you that the time changes on Sunday, so you're going to need to fall back. Set your clocks back 1 hour before you go to bed on Saturday night. And then tune in to Blessed Trails on Sunday morning at 9 o'clock. We also want to talk to you just a little bit about our Legacy Club. And Tina Mae Weber, you're back on again. You want to talk about our Legacy Club?
Well, absolutely. Our Legacy Club is free to all them. Boy, you caught me like I just got it. I've been running around all over the place. Our Legacy Club is free. It offers discounts to the members from our Legacy Club sponsors. You are automatically entered for drawing for free prizes. The two horse hydro horse system from Premier Sponsor Hydro Horse. You can sign up.
Okay, Tina Mae's down at Loretta Lynn's out in the rain, and a little phone challenge today. But she was saying that the year-end prize is being awarded by Hydro Horse. You can get one of their great portable watering systems and sign up for the Legacy Club at EquestrianLegacy.net. Tina, how's the camping down there? How's the camping down there today?
Well, I'll tell you what. I want to tell you something. It's getting full. And people need to come because technically, people were pulling in yesterday, and it's first come, first serve, and this place is getting full. It is going to be a fun time. It's going to be an exciting time. Right now, it's a little wet time, but I think that rain's supposed to clear out tomorrow afternoon, and it's going to be a great week of full of events.
Well, it's going to be a big time down at Loretta Lynn's for the Chuck Wagon races, and they've got a lot more going on besides that. They've got concerts that are happening, vendors down there for some great shopping, and some bronc fanning and all kinds of fun stuff. So a little wet will just make it a little bit more exciting down there, I would expect.
That's right.
Anyway, going to have a lot of friends down there at Loretta Lynn's this weekend. But again, wherever you are, get out and enjoy this fall weekend. It's going to be one of the final weekends to enjoy the fall colors. Tina Mae, any final thoughts that you want to leave with our audience before we lose you again?
Yeah, well, besides, come on down here and come see me here at Loretta Lynn's. If you don't have a chance to come to Loretta Lynn's, layer up, get your orange on, and go ride.
All right. So we may get to see you down there this weekend. Aaron's going to be there, and just a whole bunch of our friends are coming down to enjoy all the activities down there. And then everybody else is going to go back up to Honey Creek Horse Camp and enjoy the Big South Fork. Or wherever you are across the country, get out and enjoy the trails. Well, we want to thank you, as always, for listening to Equestrian Legacy Radio's Saddle Up America. And we'll remind you, as we do each week, if you climb in the saddle,
get ready for the ride.
Get ready for the ride on Equestrian Legacy Radio. We're going to close the show out today with a great song by Wiley and the Wild West. It's called Hooves of the Horses. Thanks for listening to Equestrian Legacy Radio.
The horses, witching and sweet, is the music earth steals from iron-shod feet. No whisper of lover, no trilling of birds, can stir me as hooves of the horses have stirred. They spurn disappointment, they trample despair.
drum beats the challenge of care. With scarlet and silk for their banners above, they're swifter than fortune, sweeter than love. Of the nighttime, I hear them go by. Horses of memory thundering through, flashing white fetlocks all wet with the dew. When you lay me to slumber, no spot you can choose. But we'll ring to the rhythm of galloping shoes. And under the daisies, no grave be so deep for the hooves of the horses to sound in my sleep. For the hooves of the horses to sound in my